From next week, I think it's six, we're going to be having a quick look, or a quick reminder, I should say, for those of us who have already done this before, at the various feasts and festivals of Israel. We're going to have a reminder. And in my head, which is a frightening place to be, I have to say, I'd got the idea that this week we'd have a reminder about why God told Moses to build a tabernacle. And that is a really good idea. Even though I say it to myself, it's one of my better ideas. It's a good idea because it's quite an important thing. But over Christmas, as I was thinking and praying it through, I was getting absolutely nowhere. Bit frustrating. But I was sure it's a good idea, so I kept on at it. Do you ever do that? Keep on at it because you think you've got a good idea? Yeah, he's not God, it's not going to work. So eventually, realizing the Lord had other plans, I waited for direction, and I kept waiting. Got to last Sunday, I still hadn't got a clue what I'd be preaching about this week. And if you know me, you know I like to be planned and prepared a good few months ahead. This wasn't good. So I kept praying. I thought, well, eventually the Lord will show me what I'm up to. And as we were heading towards the middle of last week, I was reminded very clearly of a verse from Jeremiah that Joanna brought to us last week as she led us in prayer. And it was this verse, Jeremiah 6:16. This is what the Lord says, stop at the crossroads and look around. Ask for the old godly way and walk in it. Travel its path and you will find rest for your souls. Great, isn't it? Really encouraging, really uplifting. And we'll take a look at that phrase in a minute. But sadly, it goes on. Well, it does go on somewhere. Well, it goes on, and it says this. In fact, pick up your Bibles, would you, and turn to Jeremiah 6:16. It goes on, but you reply, no, that's not the robe we want. I posted watchmen over you who said, listen for the sound of the alarm. But you replied, no, we won't pay attention. Therefore, listen to this, all nations. Take note of my people's situation. Listen, all the earth. I will bring disaster on my people. It is the fruit of their own schemes because they refuse to listen to me. They have rejected my word. There is no use in offering me sweet frankincense from Sheba. Keep your fragrant calamus imported from distant lands. I will not accept your burnt offerings. Your sacrifices have no pleasing aroma for me. Therefore, this is what the Lord says. I will put obstacles in my people's path. Fathers and sons will both fall over them. Neighbors and friends will die together. It's nice, isn't it? The days of Jeremiah's ministry to the people of Israel were days of a real terrible spiritual evil. The people had sinned against God to the point where he was ready to give them up into captivity. And we know all about that, don't we? We've been looking at those minor prophets, and the Lord kept sending people after people, saying the same things in different ways. But he was ready to give them up into captivity. And as we know from our travels through the minor prophets, eventually they get carted off just a few short years after this. But you know, even while they preached on the edge of judgment, teetering on the brink, even though they were sitting there and these men were preaching to them and they were perched on the edge, ready to fall off, the Lord longs to see them turn back to him. That's the point. I mean, there are all these words that follow that first phrase. They're sad words. They're unnecessary words if only they'd listen to God. He really, really longs to see him turn back. In this verse, we're given a picture of a traveller who comes to a junction in the road. There are all sorts of options ahead. There are probably a few behind and some to the left and the right as well. And this person can go in any direction they choose. You can, it's called free will. But God has something to say. God says, choose the old godly way and walk in it. Instead of just travelling blindly on, this traveller is to stop at the junction, to think and ask directions. Now, obviously, I'm a bloke, and so I know the way to wherever I am going. I just know it. I don't need a map. I mean, whether I've been there before or not, I can get there. I mean, a sat-nav, what's the point? You know, that silly woman talking to you, she gets annoying, doesn't she? I mean, I don't need any kind of coordinates. I could just go. Some of us can be a bit like that, can't we? Some of us blokes, if we're honest, we can be a bit like that. I'm sure a few women can as well. Much to the frustration of our family and friends in the car with us. And yes, you know, we can find it funny afterwards. But actually, you know, it's not that funny, is it? Because it is all about pride. I know how to get there. Why would I need to bother to follow a sign? Why do I need to bother to read instructions? It's about pride. We don't want to lose face. We want to be right. But of course, Jeremiah's not talking about whether you end up being late for old Aunt Ethel's 150th birthday party or something like that. Jeremiah's message is straight from God. It's not straight from Jeremiah. It's straight from God, and like so much of what God writes to us, it is very, very simple. It has to be very, very simple because we are very, very thick sometimes, aren't we? It's very, very simple. And it uses everyday things like a simple journey to make a point. Because, of course, in this picture, this simple picture, Jeremiah is showing us our hearts. So what he's showing us? He's showing us about our faith, our hearts. The Lord wants his people to travel on the right path. He wants them on a path that will lead them in his direction. And while his word of correction was thrown out to the Jews a few hundred years ago here, there is still a lesson in this verse for us here in Ely this morning. You see, I'm of the view that the Lord would still have his people ask for the old ways. Let's just take a few minutes to work through three basic things here. Three basic things in this verse as we think about what God means when he says, ask for the old godly way. Because you see, it is crucial for us to get hold of the fact that there is one right way, just the one way. There aren't lots of ways, there's just the one. There are countless wrong ways, though, aren't there? You ever found that? You know, if you're going to head somewhere, you can go lots of wrong directions and not get there. We need to be absolutely sure that we are walking the one which God has intended, the direction, the path that God has intended. The one in which he can bless us. The one that honours him. Those two things always go together. Well, number one, we can see that there is a requirement. God is not making a kind of vague suggestion. It's not a kind of rough idea. He's not offering us any advice here. This is a command. It's a command which God is issuing to his people for them, or should I say for us, to not allow ourselves to be pulled off course by false prophets, by false leaders, by false ideas. God says, look, people, look at this junction. This junction which I am putting before you. Don't just give way. Instead, do a swift emergency stop. Then take a look back over your shoulder, past the crazy gurus who are giving you some trendy advice at the moment, and look back to the people who led you properly in the past. You know, he was probably talking about people like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, and others who had walked the right way. People who'd walked the path of obedience, the path of holiness before the Lord. And when you've reminded yourself of that, when you've been looking back over your shoulder and you've got a bit of a glance and you've thought about that, what they said, what they did, the way they walked, then put your life back into gear and head in that same direction yourself. It'll be really obvious which way to go. There's a saying, isn't there? Less haste, more speed. And that is always the way with God. If you're asking God for a direction in life, that's great. Keep doing it. It's a good thing to do. But don't just rush into changes or decisions. God's command here is to look, to ask, to take time to find the right way. That old, well-worn way. That'll be his way. You see, in Israel, in Jeremiah's day, they had a similar problem to the one that we've got today. And to be honest, it's been a problem that's been around since Adam and Eve and that series of unfortunate events in the Garden of Eden. Israel didn't have a new threat. Now, the problem Israel faced is a problem that people have faced all the way through the ages. It's not a new problem. You know, during the Battle of the Bulge, I always think that's a great thing to say, the Battle of the Bulge, in the World War II, a group of German soldiers, they dressed themselves up in the uniforms of the various allies. And they used a captured American Jeep. And they went through the German countryside and they changed the roadsides. When the Allies came to liberate Germany, they came across crossroad after crossroad where they were fooled by what looked like solid, sound, legitimate signposts. Signposts which led them off in the wrong directions into traps and danger. Confusion is a really powerful weapon. The enemy's deception almost cost the war. The thing is, the enemy keeps up that kind of deception, our enemy. And confusion and death, well, that was caused by the German soldiers changing a few signs. Same thing can happen these days. Many in our day are following suit and they're successfully leading millions off to destruction because they're messing with some of the signs of faith. I'm just going to share a few of those things with you that are being changed, I think, in our day. Salvation through Christ's sacrifice alone. I put a sign up a few minutes ago which said one way. Well, there are lots of people these days in churches saying, well, yeah, but, you know, that Buddha is a nice bloke as well. No, there is one way. I am the way, the truth, and the life, says Jesus. You can check out a bit more if you want in Hebrews 9:22. Belief in the Scriptures. I haven't got the details for our Bible, but if you were to pick up a copy of the King James, you'd find, well, same in our Bible, there are 66 books. There are 1,189 chapters, that'll be true. There are 41,173 verses. No, I haven't counted them all myself. There are 774,746 words. There are 3,566,480 letters in the Bible, and every bit of them, every one of them, is the infallible, inerrant, inspired word of God. It is God's word to us. But many would say, well, yeah, but your interpretation is different to mine. I don't think so, because the Bible will interpret itself. It has to be read together as a whole. Check out 2 Timothy 3:16 if you want later on, or Psalm 119. Love for the church. Even people in the church moan about their churches. Isn't that horrible? I said last week, one of the greatest gifts we've been given is the church. Check out Hebrews 10:25. The reality of heaven and hell. It's not very trendy, is it? You know, who wants to talk about hell? John 14, 1 to 3, Psalm 9, 17. They'll give you a bit of a clue as to why we should talk about the reality of heaven and hell. It's important. We're heading in one of the two directions. The value of the human soul, kind of things that we talk about, spirituality and Christianity together. Spirituality is a big thing if you want crystals and New Age stuff. Eastern meditation. No. The Lord made us, and he made us spiritual people. The fact that Jesus will return soon. So many churches and so many people just think, well, it's not that important, is it? We'll just keep on keeping on. He said, be ready. The holiness of our God. The fact that he is so far above us. So often we try and bring God down to our level, but the fact is, he is holy. He wants to lift us up to him. Why would we want to try and drag him down? Well, there's plenty more I could rant on about, but I'm going to stop ranting and raving. But it's important that those signposts are not ones we follow. Twisted signposts. Irrespective of which signs the world changes, it doesn't change the road. There is one road. The word of God is still absolutely settled in heaven. I'll have you to know that. We still need to know the old paths and the old ways. There is no question about which way is the right way. And God's requirement won't change. It hasn't changed. God still says, stop at the crossroads, take a look around, ask for the old godly way and walk in it. Travel its path and you will find rest for your souls. Well, number two, we can see here that there is a reward. God's promise to all who choose to walk in his way, that we will find rest for our souls. I wonder, is your soul feeling rested this morning? Are you a complete mess inside? What's going on in your heart, your head? God doesn't want a mess. You don't need to have a mess. Are you feeling rested? If not, you may want to adjust your journey. It might cost you. You might have to give up things. But giving up things and giving up the mess at the same time, taking up things and taking up God's way, you might need to adjust your journey. You see, there is an amazing peace that is open to you and me. Whatever is bombarding us in the way of external stuff or internal niggles or our pride or what we want, there is a guaranteed promise that if we want to, we can find rest in and with our God. If you're not finding rest with your God, it's not him that's not offering it anymore. It's you that's not taking it. So for a number of reasons, but here are three things that we can have absolute certainty about. One is that we can be absolutely certain that God is with us on our journey, that he doesn't ever leave us. We are never left aside. He's with us on our journey in life. And when we get to the end of that journey, we will arrive at the proper destination at the proper time. And there will be a welcome party. Two, we can have an absolute certainty that we'll be travelling in safety, knowing that he is with us and his heavenly host, his angels, are guarding our way ahead and behind and to the right and to the left. We are covered spiritually. It's really important. It's true. We don't often think about spiritual things, do we? We're too busy. But it is so important. We are spiritual beings who just happen to have a body. It's not the other way around. Not only will we end up safe where we want to be at exactly the right time, as I said, but we will get there by the best possible route. Three, we can know that while we're on the Lord's path, everything we need is going to be provided for us. He is with us, he's guarding us, and he's providing everything we need at the right time. In ways that never would be provided for us if we did our own thing. You remember, we might get stuff, but it won't be what we need being provided. So there we have it. Being obedient to God is actually, as far as I can see, a bit of a no-brainer. Doing what God asks of us always is the only way. And it always blesses us more than we can ever imagine. But of course, you have to be doing it to know that. But of course, if that's the case, which it is, that must mean that those who decide not to ask for God's way, for the old ways, will find themselves walking in some pretty dodgy directions, in ways which may look good at the outset, may even look like lots of different ways at the outset that you can go to get to the same place. They may look like heading in a similar direction. But there will always be twisting and turning to that same final direction, a place of destruction, a place of misery. When we turn our backs on God, when we turn on the backs on the way that he's chosen, we'll find that the way is really difficult. Yeah, it might start off being a lot easier, and you just want to keep going, but it comes to a point when it's so difficult. You're so your head is so full of stuff, you're maybe physical things attacking you. It's so difficult. There's no peace, there's no safety. Which brings us to our number three, our third R. Rejection. As we read on, we saw, didn't we, that though God said, ask for the old way, the majority's answer was, no, thanks, mate. I'll do it my own way. I can do without you. God, you're outdated. You never existed in the first place, and no, you're not trendy. I don't need you. Verses 17 to 30 showed us the result of that choice. And that result is judgment and destruction. There is a high price to pay for refusing to walk in the Lord's will. And if you're a Christian, it's a really dodgy thing to start doing, going off course. It's the sad thing about our society today, though. Again, we're in a time where many are refusing to walk in God's way. Either that old way of God is too narrow, or they just feel that God doesn't really know what he's talking about, you know, because they're a bit brighter than he is, they know better. But I'd say to us today, as we renew our covenant with our God, no matter what the world does, no matter what is going on out there, no matter what is trendy, let us, as his people, stand firm in his way, in that old way. Let's be unashamed of who we are, wherever we are and whoever we're with. Let's be unashamed of who we are. Let's hold our heads high and walk the way that God has designed without any kind of apology, without backing down. And let us be everything that God has commanded us to be in his word. The old way is not the popular way. It's a way that's being abandoned daily by people who've decided that there's a different, better, new way or a slightly trendy way. There are those who are ignoring the Bible. There are those who are avoiding any kind of worship songs or hymns that have got decent lyrics, that talk about serious faith. There are those who will avoid biblical teaching and preaching. There are those who avoid coming together in groups to pray, coming together in groups as house group. It is so important that we meet together. We need to build each other up. We need to encourage one another and support one another. You know, sometimes I might need lifting up, and you've got to do it. Sometimes you might need lifting up, and we've got to do it. That's what it's all about. As a church together and as small groups, house groups, it's important that we get together and we support one another. There's a trendy shift to make things easier, you know, to cut out the unpalatable, to avoid any discussion of heaven and hell, as I mentioned earlier, to water down God's own words and just make them a bit more PC so that God fits in okay. Just so that God's a bit less offensive. But the thing is, God hasn't changed. He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that being the case, I can't find any reason to change myself. I don't know about you, but I do hope you'll join me. I'm going to ask for the old paths and I'm going to walk in them. How about you? It's your decision. The enemies are changing the signs. That is going to happen. But the Lord will know the way. So why don't we just ask him? Let's ask him and he will show us. Let's ask him and he will lead us. I hope that you're going to come on and join me and we'll do it together. Because I believe that the Lord has set a path for us this year for us to walk in. It's his path. Let's join him. Let's pray.